So this morning, you know, Laurette's sermon, Tian's sermon last week, if you weren't here, I would encourage you to go listen to them. Even Peter's sermon about hitting your bullseye. Please go listen to that stuff, those messages, and hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us at this time. And this morning, it was not intended, but I guess I'm going to sort of wrap up everything and pull everything together this morning, because God is on a journey with us. God wants to take us as a whole somewhere. And we just want to explore it. So this morning, I officially just want to, you know, for this quarter, put, if you can put up that next slide, you know, that's our growth path. It's there now. It used to be there. See, I'm automatic. But it's around the corner there. And again, just the reason why we did this and we developed this was because we want to help you and even help ourselves to be able to disciple people. So we wanna be able to take someone from a place where they get born again to where they are actually bearing fruit and they are effective in the kingdom and they are fulfilling their destiny and purpose. And this quarter, we are growing into the build. We are going into the build. We are growing into it. Okay, so we're going to build this quarter. And I just want to share, but and then obviously the go. Now, I want to say we maybe want to do the build and the build and the go, but together at this stage. We can't leave go for too late, because you know, being South Africa, we sort of hit a phase here, and in October, where you know it's office parties and yen functions, and I don't know what goes. It goes a bit pear shaped there. And you can't do anything that time of the year. And if we then say go, then you're all like, I'm busy. You know, I'm caring, I'm having all these functions, etc. So we want to sort of take the two together this morning. But what I want you to notice about this diagram is that encounter God. In other words, to take what Tian said last week, intimacy with the Creator God, where the one who formed us leads to all of these. So this is not function, it's not something that we do, but because I'm encountering, because I'm in the presence of the Lord, and my heart becomes entwined with His heart, I understand what He is calling me to, and how He wants to move me. So it comes from a place of intimacy. So intimacy in this case will lead to building. Because I'm intimate with Him, I will build. Because I'm intimate with Him, I will go. Because I'm intimate with Him, I will become aware of His agenda for every day of my life. Even if that is at home. Even if that is just the monotonous things that happens in every day, intimacy will help me to understand His purpose. Intimacy with Him, encountering Him, is the key to everything in the kingdom. You see, when we come before God, we start off with, you say, our Father. You know, when I address my Father, it already defines the relationship there. It defines my position, my stance, the availability of God before me. He is my Father. And as I come before Him from that place of intimacy, then I can pray the rest. And if we look at Scripture, we see how many people in Scripture that has been intimate with God, from that place, they are able to do incredible things for God. Because it's not the man, it is the God. When intimacy falls away, vision falls away, purpose falls away. When intimacy falls away, we try and sustain this life. I try and make this work. Now the truth is here, when my intimacy kind of slides sometimes, you kind of wake up and you realized how much you've been in the flesh? Nah? Yeah. None of you. Stephen at least is here this morning. But if my intimacy with him is sharp and it's pure and it's beautiful, it is easy for God to steer us. So let's be clear about this. Your intimacy with God matters. And I kind of say this, it doesn't just matter to you. It matters to us. You see, if I am not prioritizing encountering God, then in the broader body of Christ, can I say I'm dropping the ball? Kubis, how can you say that in church? I'm a Christian. Right? Nah? You see, your intimacy matters to God because when it's not there, it hinders His mission. My intimacy matters because when I'm not doing this, when I'm not intimate with Him, I hinder His mission. See, in this life is no longer about Kubis and his mission and his plan. And trust me, I've got lots of plans, just like you. I've got goals and dreams, places I want to see, things I want to do. And I take all that and I submit it unto His will because He's the one that determines where I'm going. You see, He's the one that called me and He's the one that sent me. You will remember from the start of this year, we said the overarching theme for this year is we're taking it from our 30-year celebration, which was called and sent. We want to take that through this year. We want to trust God to move in our lives in such a way that we understand that we are called by Him, but that we are also sent by Him. You see, you and me are called by God, but we are also sent by God. It's not the church that does this. Although God uses people to kind of get us going sometimes, God wants to steer your life to go somewhere. This called and sent theme is the theme of our lives. It's our anthem. It's our obligation. We want to fulfill everything that God has set apart for us to do. And this second half of this year, kan julle dit glo? I'm still trying to deal with January. Now I'm apparently in July already. I'm not sure how this happened, but it's happened. We are on the second half of the year. Can you remember as a kid how long a year took? Nah? It's like when you had your birthday and you have to wait for it for a year, it felt like, you know, it's eternity. Now I'm like, can someone please pull up the handbrake because my birthday is around the corner. Stuff needs to slow down. But here's the truth. God is not confused on where we are in history, where we are on this year, and He has amazing plans for us. So I just want to take us back to a scripture that Laurette read in her sermon, and I just want to, as part of massaging this into our hearts, you see, if we as a collective, if you as an individual do not grab hold of this vision, then we're not going to succeed. You see, God said, even in our Father, it's let our kingdom, let His kingdom come, right? Let our Father's kingdom come. And I think with the build theme and even the go theme, we want to trust God that that happens. So Romans 12, verse 3 to 8 reads as follows. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think sober judgment. Just think with sober judgment. That is a portion that we can just, you know, even if, as we've been in LL, I think this is what is, you know, God is just doing, is Kubis, even just how you're seeing yourself and how, what do you think about yourself? Okay? Each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so though many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. Please see that. Let us use them, not neglect them or say that I haven't got them, but let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Now just think of this. Just think, take the scripture now, just think of it. What will happen if what Paul is writing here happens? What will happen in the church when what he is writing here happens? So let's take them each one by turn. If each one of us do not think of himself more highly than he ought, but I see myself in the context of what God has purposed for me, I understand who I am, I understand the gifts and the abilities that is placed upon me, and I am secure in it. You see, I understand who he has made me to be, and at my age, I'm in a place where I'm actually understanding more who God has actually made me to be, and even becoming more comfortable with who he has made me. You see, I can think all what I want, but if I'm not that, I'm probably going to mess it up. The next one. When each one acts according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. You see, where each one of us take the faith that God has, the measure of faith that God has deposited in you, and you move. Can you put the next one up? Is it not wanting to? Okay, it's our koppig. Okay, the next one is, when each one acts according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. You see, you have received, I have received faith. And I need to act, I need to take that, mold it, work with it. You know, like the ones with the talents, that God gave the talents. He was working with it. He, the one that had received one talent did what? He went and he buried it. And then the master came and said, what were you thinking? You should have at least banked it so I could get some interest. And here's the reality. And don't let the enemy lie to you. The gift of faith on your life is actually huge. And it's necessary. Because this is written in the context of being a body with many members. Your gift of faith is necessary for this house. Amen? Julle is regtig nie convincing vanoggend nie. Jo. The next one, when we understand that we are one body. Now, you know, we understand we are church. We are Shofar Brockenfeld. This is amazing. We all come here. We hopefully love to come here. We love to grow and so on. But I think the mind shift that we need to make here is that in the context of what Paul is writing is that we are one body. In other words, I need you. The scripture says, you know, how can the ear say to the hand, you know, I don't need you, champ. Or we can take this anyway. And the heart goes, boys, I don't need you. I'm beating. So don't need all of you. I'm good on my own. As long as I'm beating, this whole thing's going. But the heart without the body's got no purpose. Seeing that God speaks about our hearts this morning, we are part of one body, that we have many members. We have many members. It's not just about me. It's not just about me. We are many members in this body. We do not all have the same function. Please become comfortable with the fact that you are not the worship leader. Because you really want to maybe be, you know? I'm joking. If I was the worship leader, I can clear a room and it's not going to be good. So it's maybe good that I understand what my function is in the body. But it's for us to be understand that we are part of one body. We have got many members and we have do not all have the same function. And if you do not know what your function is to trust God to show you what your function is. Take your faith to God, allow Him to shape and mold you and to flow in that function, that gift. It's because when you allow yourself to be in this body to the fullness, where the body prospers. Where things happen. You know, I've had times in the past where people come to me and say, Cobus, you know, why does Chofa Brockenfell not have this ministry? Then I go, yes, amazing. I'm so glad God puts that on your heart. Maybe you should run with it. And they go like, no. I don't have the time for that. Or, you know, surely not me. You see, part of faith is risking it. Because if I look at the definition of faith, if the definition of faith doesn't even make sense. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things that I don't even see. That is faith. And when I take this gift of faith, when I take this ability that God has given me, and I say, Father, here it is, please do with it whatever you want, then we are blessed. You see, if this finger goes on its own tangent, this hand will have a problem. I can tell you this much. I had a repetitive strain injury a couple of years ago. I was digging too many trenches. And there's a little here. The tendon runs. This is my professional amateur opinion of what happens here. But apparently the tendon or something runs in little rings. So because I worked it too hard, this thing popped. So it made a little bubble. So now you can imagine this bubble goes through the rings. Poink, poink, poink. It's nice. Suddenly, this thumb whom I love very much becomes the thumb I hate very much. Because I cannot do anything. And I guess it's the same when I don't function and I don't allow God to deal with my heart and my life in the way that I hinder the body from actually being able to do what it's supposed to do. You see, when we build together, when it's about His kingdom, we bring our gifts to the table and we allow God to use it and this body thrives. That's why I say, can you imagine if this happens across the world? Where the church is not about money or getting the job done or, you know, all these things that we do on a Sunday, where it's about what is on His agenda. You see, where I obey and I fulfill my function in the body, stuff will happen. I've said this before, but there's ministries and stuff that are sitting here, not looking at anybody. That's supposed to happen as you take your gift and you just move forward. See, we are one body in Christ. We are individually members of one another. This is what Paul is writing here. We are one body in Jesus. We are members. Hey, just tap someone there next to you. Say, hey, member. Hey, member. You are my member. Okay, you're not a member of Shelf of Brackenfell. You can just say, you are my member. I need you, my member. Okay. We all have gifts that differ according to the grace that is given to us. Just tap someone and say, listen, you've got a grace that is different from my grace. And it's okay. The grace that's on your life is different and I'm okay with that. What will happen when we individually, corporately and globally understand this is the church as the body, as the bride of Christ. This is what church is about. This is when we as the body start moving together, fulfilling our function. There is not clashes. We are not in competition with one another. We are beautifully flowing together. We don't have repetitive strain injury. Okay, maybe some of the people that serve all the time will feel like they've got repetitive strain injury, nah? Okay? Let's pray for them and please go serve them so that they can have a rest. By the way, to fix this thing, I had to go for surgery. And then they have to cut the rings. It was very nice. So let's not do surgery on the body, okay? Can every member please fulfill their function so that the body doesn't get repetitive strain injuries? Are you with me? Okay, come on. You see, when I believe when this happens, when we fulfill this, when we walk in this, the bride of Christ, the church, will become beautiful. It will become successful in its mission. It will fulfill all that God has called us to do. Why? Because it doesn't just fall on one person, one man, one woman. It's on each one of us. I believe the kingdom of God will come on earth as we have prayed. See, building is each one of us, each one's task and priority as much as it's ours collectively. I'll say that again. Building is each one's task and priority as much as it's ours together. You are not an island. You are not alone. You are us. You are us. Because with you, without you, there's no us. Hear me this morning. Without you, there's no us. The gift and the grace of God on your life makes it an us. You know, when we do marriage counseling, and we solemnly believe this, I believe the day that you get married, there's no longer a you and I. It's an us. Because the moment you bring you and I in, you stand in opposition to one another. You see, in this, the fact that God is saying that we are a body means that we are not a you and me. We are an us. I need you, and you need me. And without you, I cannot build. Without you, I am bordering on being useless. And can I just say that? Can I just thank everybody who serves wherever on a Sunday? I'm really grateful, because if I think what I would have had to do if people didn't take up the baton and run with things, then I would have been a headless chicken. But I don't know what that looks like. For those apparently that's chopped off a chicken's head, it's quite a thing. My dad keeps telling me about this. If you chop the chicken's head off, it runs. And I'm not going to go into graphics, because he did do that. Okay? I guess I would feel like one of those. But you are us. We are together. We are called separately as much as we are called collectively. You see, we always pursue what God has called me to. But sometimes we neglect what has God called us to. We trump the us with the me. You see, and there's no competition there. This is a body. In the body, you will understand your calling and live it out even greater measure in the bigger. Okay? We are sent individually as much as we are sent collectively. There's a mission and a purpose on your life within the greater. We are not a fragmented church. We are the church. And all the devil wants to do is make us believe that we are standing in opposition to one another, in some way or form. If he can get you not to like someone else, you're not comfortable when that person is here. So already there's an awkwardness, right? And I want to encourage you, for the sake of being the church, to walk across the room and maybe just go, hey, listen, are we okay? Maybe they said something or did something or didn't say something or didn't do something. And you just neglect it. And you sit with this thing in your heart and it becomes that crust around your heart because you are not talking to that person. Yes, you are talking to your cell leader and you're not praying someone, so, but you never spoke to that person. How will that ever be solved and change? You see, when I have something against Lorette, the biggest favor I can do us is to sit her down and say, Houston, we have a problem. Can we talk? Because that's when the relationship will heal. And I can tell you this much from experience, that the devil will hinder that from happening. You will always feel like, oh, you know, I must make this phone call. Yes, and sometimes you have to make the phone call because clearly they're not making the phone call. Sometimes you have an issue and they don't even know that you have an issue, so you better make the phone call. And I don't know why I'm going on this. But, you see, if the devil can sow strife, if he can sow discord in our midst, we are no longer moving as one. You see, we are the church. We are the body of Christ. We are different members, yet part of one body. And if he can get us to stand against one another, then we will not succeed. He hinders our mission. He hinders the mission of God if we are not okay with one another. Who of you have been a long time in church? I'm not going to ask how long. Okay, so you've been a long time in church. Who of you know that in church people will kind of get under your skin? Because only about 50% of those that put their hands up. The rest of you will just stay in church longer, and you're probably going to find out that there's people in church. And that becomes interesting. I always honestly do say, church was amazing, and then I came. But it's true for each one of us. Church is amazing, and then we arrive with our trailers full of stuff. Hello. I just got little stuff. I see you've got more stuff than me. It's amazing, yeah, God's wisdom in choosing us to be the church and then entrusting us broken people with his mission. Just blows my mind. I'm so glad he puts the Spirit, the Holy Spirit within us to enable us to do this. You see, we are the church. We are ecclesia. Can you put up that? Ecclesia, this is what the strong says, a called out, that is a popular meeting, especially a religious congregation, Jewish synagogue, or Christian community of members on earth, or saints in heaven, or both. An assembly, a church. You see, we have been called out. We have been separated. We are the body of Christ. We are a gathering of the saints here today. You see, we have a mission. We have a purpose. We have been ordained by God to fulfill his purposes this side of heaven. And we want to build that. Matthew 28, you all know it. This is the mission. This is our purpose. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. I'm so glad he said all authority. Because that means all authority submits to him other than his authority. He has got all authority. Go therefore. Because I have the authority, go and make disciples of all nations. You know, when we build, going back to what Tian said, we will make disciples if we build. We will be baptizing them if we build in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We will be teaching them to observe all that Jesus has commanded us when we build. And we can go and do this because he is with us always. John 13, verse 35 says, by this all will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And again, when discord comes, when strife comes, then we don't love one another, do we? You see, I put that heartbeat in there Because that is the love that we have for one another. The fact that God loves of us. And like Kobe said, when I prayed yesterday, when I was preparing for this, I saw this massive table and God just desiring for us to come and sit and be with Him. And then I just heard these words that said, Corbus, I would love you just to sit with, but we have a purpose. We have stuff that needs to, man, we're going to sit with Him with for all eternity. But until that happens, until I die or until the rapture happens or until I'm not on this earth anymore, I need to be the body of Christ with you in this world. See, we build together and individually. When we do that, when we build together and we build individually in our gifts and our talents, then the church becomes unstoppable. It becomes a force in this world that the devil cannot stop because the Spirit of the Lord is upon His people. When we live out, our gifts, the devil starts to worry. Each one of us has been given a measure of faith. Each one has been needs to move in the gift that he's been given. When we start doing that, the devil will start worrying because the church will be advancing. The devil fears the church that moves together by the Spirit of the Lord. And this second half of the year, will you join your faith with mine and the elders as we trust God, not just to come to church, but to build, to reach the lost, to disciple people, to go on missions, both locally and abroad, to be the church, to be the body of Christ in this place that He has called us to. So how do we build together? According to Romans 6 to 8, 12 verse 6 to 8, it says, bring your prophetic gift. Bring your servant heart, your motivation that you've been blessed with. Bring your teaching gift. Teach them to obey that all that he's taught us. Your exhortation gift. Bring that and exhort the people around you. Bring your generosity. Because through generosity, the mission of the church is made possible. Bring your leadership. Some of you are sitting here and you are hiding and you know that God has called you to be leaders. And it's time to step up to the plate. You know, the one thing that we want to see in terms of even just our small groups is to see a small group on every corner, I want to almost say, of every block. Why? So that someone can just walk down the street and be discipled. It's good if they come here, but can we minister to them there too? And then bring your mercy gift and let's let it loose. I must say, I love Kobus and the mercy gift that's on his life because I ain't got none of that. I need him. And it's easy because he's got my name. So we all could, you know. Yeah. So we move together. But there's so many of you that sit here, and can I just say this honestly from my heart? I love the gifts that's on your life. I love your passion for people. I love how you pursue people, how you lead them. Sometimes even in your own brokenness and your own hurt, you are faithful to steward and shepherd and lead God's people. But it's time to step up the plate, to take it to the next level, and to build that which God has called us to do. To refer back to Tian and the four things, the four circles. We need to be Jesus-centered. We need to be intimacy called. We need to be discipleship orientated. And we need to be missionally present. And all this flows from a place of intimacy. So I want to say to you, everything that God is calling us to do, let's be intimate with Jesus. God has prepared that table before us. God wants us to love on us, to enable us, to empower us, to take us to where we have not been before. All we have to do is just yield to Him. What if this year, the second half of the year, what if we lose no one? What if we trust God that the people that He sends through these doors, that we will not lose one, but we will love on them, disciple them, be there for them, that they will meet Christ through this body? What if we lose no one? And everyone encounters God. See, it doesn't help, that's just my heart. Because as one man, I cannot do it. If it's our heart collectively, if someone walks through these doors, man, never mind just when they leave here, that week after, we just love on them. I'm not saying harassing them, I believe. Just, you know, just be genuine. See, we must gather in the harvest for our King. So I believe it's time to bring your gift to the house of God and say, Father, here's my gift. Use it as you please. Historically in the church, if you can, in the church, you know, I've been the Sunday service administrator for years in a church in Stellenbosch. And inevitably, in church, we see the few doing a lot. And then eventually becoming tired. And this year, as we build, I'm trusting God that each one of us will bring our gift and say, Father, what do you want me to do? How can I build this local house that you've placed me in? You see, that is part and parcel of why we will love people to become members, because it's easy to build with someone when we have agreed to go for the same goal. But when people are not here, they're here but they are not here, it is difficult to build. Because there's almost this competition. Because you are not, I guess, sold out. So where are you actually sold out? And we are trusting God just to fulfill His call and His plan on our lives. Amen. Let's do it.